Well, I didn't realize Bill was going to be here today, or I would have sent him the scripture to read. This is about a centurion, but I entitled it on the front, I think, an officer's faith or a soldier's faith. I'm not sure which is out front. But this is an officer who is above and over 100 people in his brigade, regiment. I'm not sure of the terminology there, excuse me. 100 soldiers in Israel, and where the story takes place. So listen this morning for God's word to you. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. I believe that God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. There are very few episodes or stories within Scripture that reveal every participant at his best, but our lesson for the day is one of them. You go back and you read about Moses and what he did, or David. They all had their problems, all did horrible things. But Jesus has just finished teaching and he enters the town of Capernaum. He is tired. He has just finished giving the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps he's coming to Capernaum for refreshment, for some relaxation, to kick back a little while and gather his thoughts and pray to his Heavenly Father and get his batteries recharged. But there was a delegation there to meet him. It was a group of Jewish elders. They had a request for him. So often New Testament spotlights conflicts between Jesus and the religious establishment. But in this story, even the Jewish elders are cast in a positive light. They're not out to get him. They're not out to trick him here. The elders had come to Jesus concerning a Roman centurion or soldier or officer in their town, a man who is respected by all of them. The centurion had a servant for whom he had great affection, and the servant was suffering a painful affliction and was near death. And the centurion asked for Jesus to come and heal his servant. He had heard about him and the miracles and the healings that Jesus was capable of. For the moment, Jesus forgot all about his fatigue. Some soul was in distress and needed attention. He went with the elders, and they were nearing the centurion's house when the centurion sent his friends out to them with an amazing message. The message the centurion sent out went like this: "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to even come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed." The word is so powerful. Remember, God spoke the world into existence. Luke tells us that when Jesus heard this message from the centurion, he was amazed at the centurion's faith. There are only two times in the New Testament when Jesus was said to have been amazed. The first time was when he began public ministry in his hometown of Nazareth. Do you remember what happened there? Jesus was rejected by those who knew him best. The Gospel of Mark tells us that Christ was amazed by their lack of faith. The second time the word amaze is used in this encounter with the Roman centurion. This time Jesus is amazed not by their lack of faith, but by how genuine this Gentile's faith was. So Jesus turned to those who were with him and said, "I tell you, I have not found such greater faith, not even in Israel." Because remember, he's talking about a Gentile outside of the Jewish religion, and they considered no one really saved. They are the chosen people. No one else really knows their God. Evidently, that faith had an impact. Luke tells us that when those who had been sent by the centurion returned to the house, they found the servant well. In other words, he had been healed. What happens in this story that made it possible for the centurion's servant to be made well? Of course, this healing occurred because Jesus willed it and spoke it to happen, but there's more than that. I think there are three elements in this story that are always helpful in the healing process, whether it's personal healing or healing of family problems or healing of a society. The first is the power of true, real caring. When people truly care, there's healing. Where people care, the possibility of miracles are there. We see the centurion's love for his servant. Probably the servant had been a trusted member of the centurion's household for many years. Actually, servant is too nice of a term. It's one of the first Greek words that I really learned in seminary. Doulos, which some people translate, and they've translated here, servant, but the literal translation is slave. Slave. The man about whom the centurion cared so much was literally a slave. Now, Dr. Leith Anderson notes that in Roman times, slavery could have often been quite cruel, and we can understand that. Under Roman law, slaves were considered to be property, giving the owner complete rights to do whatever he wanted to do to that slave without any legal jeopardy whatsoever. If he wanted to kill a slave, he could do so without any repercussions. That centurion so highly valued his slave and wanted to take the best care of him in his sickness is a most unusual expression of kindness, because a lot of them would just, when a slave or a servant was sick, just put them out of the household to go fend for themselves. No social systems like in our society today to help them. And this does not in any way condone slavery, in any way, shape, or form. But it does show that this man is comparatively good light in an otherwise evil system. This was a system he grew up in and he knew. Just as important, someone had cared enough about the centurion to tell him about Jesus. Otherwise, he wouldn't have known where to turn in this time of need. And think about that. How fortunate we would be if more people were open to talking, simply talking about Jesus. Not preaching about Jesus, just simply talking about Jesus. Have you ever thought of how powerful a word is spoken at just the right time? It is said that some of the alpine slopes at certain times of the year, guides forbid those that they're taking to speak a single word. They fear that the mere tremor of a human voice will cause an avalanche and the snow will come tumbling down. But the human voice can be powerful in other ways. It can bring healing to broken hearts and help those who are in despair. A simple word of kindness. It was a mere human voice that sent the centurion to the source of healing for his servant. Someone cared enough about the slave or the servant to tell the centurion, the master, about Jesus and his healing and what he could do. The centurion in turn cared enough about his servant to call in the Jewish elders and ask them to bring Jesus to him. In some ways, the Jewish elders cared enough about the centurion to overcome any prejudices they might have about a Roman who was there occupying their land. They cared enough to swallow their pride and to go to Jesus, someone who's kind of outside of their religion, the way it is established. And of course, Jesus cared enough to go with them to heal the servant. There's healing in knowing that somebody is praying for you, looking in on you, telling others about you that you need prayer, giving that sense of compassion. And that is exactly what a church ought to be, a caring community of persons seeking to lift one another up, joining in with their burdens, doing our best to help one another. We see the power of caring. We also see the power of character. Where there are people of character, miracles can happen. We're not told of the servant's character, but can we assume that it was of the highest order? How could a servant win the esteem of his master if the servant has not proven himself to the master to be trustworthy of his position and over the master's property to take care of it? We do know the centurion's character. He was sent by Rome to command a garrison of soldiers at Capernaum. It's not easy to mix soldiers with an oppressed society, but somehow the centurion carried out his orders in such a way that he had gained the respect of the Jewish religious leaders. They report to Jesus about the centurion. He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation and he has built a synagogue or a temple, a place for us to worship. So we know he's a generous man, a charitable man. We know that he was concerned about the well-being of the people for whom he ruled and the servants in his own household. The centurion was a man of character. Wherever such character exists, there is healing. Part of the centurion's character was his sense of humility. Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. I don't even deserve for you to come and care about me or my servant. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to even come to you. How easy it is for some people that are in authority and have positions of power and that we might even show good virtue and be basically good people, once they get that power, to allow that power to start corrupting them and start putting themselves into more of a higher position and esteem themselves more worthy than they are. We see it happen all the time. But not this soldier, not this officer, not this centurion. He was a good man in every sense of the word, and Jesus undoubtedly loved him for it. In James 5:6, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. There is healing when there is people in such character. So we have two elements, caring and character. The third element here is confidence in Christ. Where people have confidence in Christ, miracles can take place. That is another term for faith. The centurion was so confident that Jesus could heal his servant that he had his messenger say, do not trouble yourself to come under my roof, but say the word and let my servant be healed. Just say the word. He had that much faith. You don't even have to come. You don't even have to see him. You don't even have to really know where I live. Just speak the word, and I know that he will be healed. What faith? Just a word from the master would be sufficient. That was the centurion's faith. There's power in that kind of confidence. You can move mountains if you have that kind of faith. Clarence Forsberg tells about a mother with 5 children years ago who became so desperate because of her bad health and bad financial situation. And she decided that life just wasn't worth the struggle anymore. and she would do something about it. She carefully took towels and paper and covered up all the holes around the windows and the doors. She went into the kitchen with a gas stove and cut it on, but with no flame, so just the gas would come on. She went into the bedroom and she got a little daughter and laid down on the bed and put her arms around her little girl. And she laid there waiting to die, and taking her daughter with her. She heard in the background the radio playing. For some reason that bothered her, and she got up to go turn the radio off. She didn't want to hear it. And when she got into the room, she could hear it playing, an old gospel hymn. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. In that instant, she realized the mistake that she was making. She realized the resources of the faith that she had within her. And she rushed back into the bedroom, turned off the gas, opened up all the windows, and grabbed her daughter. And she said, I began to pray. I did not pray for help. I did not pray for healing. I did not pray for financial blessings. I prayed a prayer of gratitude for God for the blessings that I already had in my life. I thanked Him for the 5 wonderful children that I had. And I promised Him that I would never, ever again forget my faith. Then she added as an afterthought, and so far, I have kept that promise to God. The Roman centurion is a very beautiful story when we really take a look at it, featuring a caring community, character and humility and confidence in what Jesus can do for us if we ask and we remember to pray. When you have those 3 elements all in place, caring, character, and confidence in Christ, I believe miracles can take place. A body can be healed. A family can be made whole again. A community can come together. Maybe even the world can be healed. No wonder the centurion's servant was healed. With such faith at work, and if we can have that faith, my friends, we can do anything. May God bless you. Amen.